back at the microphone. Sorry, I had to adjust a few chairs there, but we're back here. Now, Greg, can you please say a big happy 21st birthday to our brother and uncle, Ryan McColgan, who's in Millfield, Buncrana, from your brother and sister, nieces and nephews. Happy 21st, Uncle Ryan McColgan. Let me see here. I just listened to the councillor on the news talking about the council's ability to purchase land for social housing and stating that council can't purchase land to build houses for people. If you all just get in behind those microphones, that would be fantastic. Thank you. I'll read this from the beginning. I'll come back to that actually because it's quite long. I don't want to rush through it because now we're going to talk. As part of Your Voice, Your Community, we're going to turn our focuses on women's sheds. Now, we often talk about men's sheds in Donegal, and they're fantastic. I know people that are part of them and have spoke to many of them in the past. Not so much so the women's shed. We're joined by a number of guests in studio now. Lisa Gallagher, who's a member of the women's shed. Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent stuff. We also have Martina McGinty, manager of Cara House. Good morning, Martina.
Good morning, Greg.
And Breda Campbell, community integration with Cara House.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you getting on?
Very good, thank you.
Right, okay. So who wants to... Martina, do you want to talk to us about women's sheds?
Yeah, well, I suppose...
Well, you're going to, but I mean, you can do it first.
I suppose I'll go back a little bit onto when Cara House was established.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Almost 20 years ago now, and I suppose it was very much built on social inclusion, social interaction and bringing people together. So we felt that the Women's Shed was a really, really good fit for Cara House. In 2022, we put out a questionnaire to see was there any interest in a Women's Shed in Letterkenny, and we very quickly had 80 ladies on the list. So it was very
evident.
That's
a huge response, isn't
it? Yeah, it was massive. We kind of knew there was a need and a want for it. So then we moved to our new premises in 2023, and that's when we started our day shed. Yep.
Breda, day shed, night sheds.
Breda, yeah, I'm here.
I know that. Can I not stare into Lisa's eyes for a moment without you pulling me up on it?
Oh, I don't know about that now.
I was going to call around to the women's shed. I'm not sure I will now. Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
So I currently manage the day shed and the evening shed, yeah. And it's just fabulous.
I presume there's two to suit people's lifestyles.
There is. Yeah, okay. The day shed tends to be an older audience, ladies who are retired and they've got more time on their hands and they just want somewhere to go during the day. Sometimes it's not always about the activity, it's the connectivity too, coming together and being with other people. We do try and facilitate that as best we can, but the Women's Shed is all about women coming together with their own ideas and initiate what they want to do. So, but they love it. They love coming in for the chit-chat, the cup of tea, you know, getting to know what everyone else has been doing, getting up to. And if we do put on something like arts and crafts, they really get into it. Don't realise how creative they actually can be until they actually start doing something.
Yeah, and it's like all good things in life. There's the obvious happening and there's a not so obvious happening, isn't there? So yeah. there is that sort of practical element that you've talked to, but then that you have different women of all different backgrounds coming together and the integration and conversation that can happen there.
It's brilliant. We have some young ladies coming from the National Learning Network now to the day shed, which is fantastic. You know, they're getting out into the community as well and seeing what we do. And once they come through the door of the day of the shed, they see what else goes on at Cara House. You know, we've got so many other workshops and...
Yeah, I want to talk more generally about that in a moment, certainly. So we'll dedicate a bit of that specifically to the wider work of Cara House. But Lisa, why did you want to get involved?
I suppose I want to get involved. I go to the evening shed with the young ones. And I suppose at the time what I was going through, I kind of, you know, I'd been through my cancer treatment and I'd kind of wanted to start getting back out because my world had got so much smaller and I couldn't do the same thing. So when I didn't advertise, I thought, you know, maybe that's for me. I'll give it a try. And I was really nervous going in. I was saying it to Breda. But when I came in the door, I didn't actually know anyone, which I thought I would see a familiar face. And so the first session, we did like an icebreaker and we got to know everybody's names. And then we've been doing different activities. We've done like yoga. We've done a plumbing course, so I know how to fix taps now. So, yeah, we do lots of kind of handy things.
Yeah, I mean, a similar organisation in Inishowen launched some of these DIY classes and they were oversubscribed by the hundreds. was just an interest in people wanting to be able to do bits and bobs around the house.
Oh, definitely, you know, like bleed your radiators. So it's like, I'm learning things, I'm meeting new people. So I'm really, really enjoying it. It's like, definitely, please, I'm going.
My bleeding radiators invariably ends with a load of dirty black water on the wall. So I got a radiator cover and now it's gone.
And that's gone, you
see. It's gone. It's not a problem. And I even drilled the radiator cover to the wall to ensure it will never be discovered.
We should get some of the ladies in to help you.
I know.
Yes,
I know.
Okay. But I'll need a lady.
We have a DIY course coming up soon.
Yeah, right. Also, I need a painter, decorator.
We can do all that from the women's shed.
Lisa, you said something that was quite interesting when you saw it advertised. You said, oh, this could be for me. Yeah. And also, I think it's important we talk to those who probably say, oh, that's not for me. Yes. But they're missing out on something that really probably is for them.
Yes, yes. I think, like, it's something different that I haven't been involved with. Like, I've always liked activity and doing all those kind of things, you know, running and things. And I was like, I can't do that at the moment, so what else can I do? When I saw that advertised, I thought, do you know, I'll give it a go. And but it is hard when you first kind of go, you know, to walk in the door, that first initial, right? I'm going by myself. And I'll just put myself out
that
there.
That starts
it is
on the first day of NINRA.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And
you never lose
goes.
That fear.
You never lose that fear. Does it? It's just that first walk. But how quickly you overcome that too.
As soon as I didn't realise that I've met Breeda before. Yeah. And but I didn't realise it was Breeda that was going to be there. So as soon as I seen her smiley face, I was like, right, I know I'm okay. Like, I'm in safe hands.
But then what happens is that, you know, when a new face appears, everyone goes into that mode, I presume. Come on in, you're welcome, Breeda.
It is very much a welcoming environment. And it's a safe environment too. You know, what goes on in the shed stays in the shed. You know, we don't bring anything out the door with us. So, and we have some great crack, don't we?
Yeah.
So the evening group are fantastic. You know?
Yeah. And so talk to me about some of the activities you did talk about. It's structured, is it? So how many times do they meet? Is it like the men's shed where if there's a sort of like a enough people, they meet anyway? Or is it more structured or what's the story?
It's structured at the moment because of the facilities that we have. It runs on a Tuesday, so 11 till 1. Is a day shed, and then 7 till 9 in the evening is the evening shed. We come back on Tuesday. It is structured, so we're going back into creative mindfulness, and then we're doing a few weeks of DIY. We've got some herbalism coming in, which is all about natural health and, you know, eating clean and stuff, and women's well-being, talking about menopause. We've also got a community garden evening coming in where they'll talk about being safe, staying safe online. Your own Michael Eddy comes in and talks about scams and staying safe on the phone and not clicking into links. So it's just general stuff.
Yeah. But it's, you know, but it's done in a relaxed chilled environment.
Yeah. Not like the men's shed. Now, saying that, Greg...
Well, the men's shed is also very relaxed.
It is.
But men's sheds always ends up about beekeeping and boats. I don't know why. Every men's shed I ever talk to...
They would turn normally a
chest of drawers and then... They all have to get bees eventually. Yeah.
But the great thing about this is now we have WhatsApp groups for the two sheds.
Yeah.
And the ladies themselves interact during the week. It's not just on a Tuesday from 7 till 9. They'll share stuff together, what's going on in the area, and they'll meet up themselves, go for a walk. So it's a wider, it's a broader, it's more than just those 2 hours.
For sure. And I was speaking to another group of individuals not so long ago. And what happened there, and I'm sure it happens here, is that people in your area... that you have no knowledge of.
No.
You know what I mean? Or maybe they've moved to the area, or maybe you've both lived there for 20 years, and then you find yourself forming these friendships, and your neighbour then, I mean, obviously we most know our next-door neighbours, but you know what I mean, in our local area. So, Martina, Cara House, what area does it cover? So this women's shed's for what area?
As in the area, Letterkenny.
Where is it?
It's
in Letterkenny.
It's in Letterkenny. Yeah. It's in Cara House.
Well, you see... The thing is, and I'm trying to break through this, if something's in Letterkenny, no one tells me where it is because they presume that the entire world revolves around Letterkenny.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
They don't realise that some of us actually are not from Letterkenny.
Yes, exactly.
So this is all in Letterkenny, and it's all based in and around the Cara House.
Okay. And at the moment, like with women's sheds, you know, we're trying to empower women and let them decide what they would like to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, the women's sheds is under the umbrella of Cara House at the moment, but there's no reason why down the line it could become an entity by itself. and, you know, we could support them in doing that. Mm. But they're happy at the moment to come and let Breda organise everything at the minute for them.
But also too, Martina, I'm not saying this is the only women's shed in the entire world, but there's a framework there if this wants to be replicated elsewhere,
absolutely.
You know, be it in North Inishowen or West on the Gaul or whatever it might be.
And I believe actually that Deborah from St. Johnson at Family Resource Centre is hoping to set up a women's shed as well in the area. Haven't seen how successful it was in Cara House. Mm.
Talk to me about Cara House more generally in the work that you do.
Okay, so where do I start? I suppose we're in the community, we're for everybody. We are a socially inclusive family resource centre and we cater from children, babies right up to the people in their 90s. So we have a lot of adult education classes. So like even though we have the women's shed, we have a lot of standalone classes as well that women and men come to. So we have other women's groups, we have men's groups as well, funny enough, on a Monday morning. They meet every Monday, put the words to write with a cup of tea. And we have loads of classes like arts classes, Spanish classes, Irish classes are very popular. Anne was here not so long ago on Highland as well. And then we also have our children's centre, where we have children from 2 to 12. So we have an ECC room and we have after schools with about 140 children a day attending a day.
And I know the work that you do is very well known, right? But I'm also very conscious that even people around Letterkenny might go, well, that sounds great, but how would I even begin to find out what's there and how I can get involved or whatever? It might sound to someone like it's a club they're not part of, right? So if I wanted to engage in some of the services at Cara House or find out more about the supports or whatever it might be, what's my first thing to do?
Yeah. Well, like Lisa said, I think it's taking the first step walking in the door. Like we had a lady years ago who came to the door and never actually came in.
And I know. She came to the door and never left.
And now she's in every single day.
Right,
you know, it took her ages, took her ages to build up that, that
you
confidence.
You hear that all the time. Yeah. With people, Cancer Care West, people going to the front door and never going up the stairs or in the lift. Yeah, this kind of stuff all the time. Yeah,
exactly. So she eventually, you know, came through the door. So that's literally it. Come in the door.
Yeah.
There's always somebody there to talk to. Yeah. We also have a drop-in room, which is open Monday to Friday from 10 to 2. Come in, have a cup of tea. There's always somebody there to talk to.
Yeah.
And then we can give you the list of courses. And then, like, a lot of women are drawn to the women's shed. They like the fact that you're learning something different, you know, instead of something the same all the time. They love the idea of something different, you know.
And it grows, Lisa, it grows with the you know, what people want. It becomes some sort of a consensus. And then that's the direction you can go into for one of the meetings.
I think like Breda's saying, we have the WhatsApp group and then that's used all the time. Like someone be like, oh, does anybody know someone, a good painter? You know, we use it for find information.
It becomes a community resource.
Yeah, and also, oh, the cultural night's coming up, so someone posts about that. Or oh, there's something going on in the museum.
I wonder too with people who, you know, don't necessarily have a huge social structure, that people go, oh, I'd go to that with you.
Yeah.
Is there an element to that too? There's bound to be that people can sort of, you know, within the group sort of pal up to certain things.
I've had one service user come to the shed and a friend of hers who was a widow and she'd been very much one of these people that wouldn't do anything on her own. So having a confident friend, bringing another confident friend, she wouldn't miss it for the world. Now she loves it, can't wait. She's messaged
me. She can
me
go on her own then as well.
She could come on her own. She knows she's going to come into a room of welcoming faces. And even if she just wants to sit down and not do anything, she's just happy to be there.
And it's a diverse group of individuals, all bringing different skill sets as well.
That's it.
You know, older people or younger people. So, I mean, I don't want to pigeonhole people, but an older person might have more experience in certain areas. And then they might get some tuition from a younger person on maybe matters of technology. Who's to say?
Hugely important. That intergenerational thing is so, so important. Like, as you said, people have so much to learn off the older people and the older people have so much to learn from the younger people. So it's a really good mix.
Yeah, because we do know, you know, isolation is a horrible thing, but there's people listening to us now and they're going, I wish something like that was in my area because, you know, maybe they've lost their partner or whatever, or they've moved to an area. And it's horrible if you're in the house and you don't see anybody.
Yeah. And your life, sorry.
Yes, Lisa.
I was going to say, but the good thing about it, see, when...
Well, I might have looked at the wrong person, Breda, but it didn't cut across anyone, all right?
Okay.
So I didn't cut across anyone.
So. I'll let you
apologies. But I just, when it comes into my head, if I...
This is exactly what I want.
Oh,
come on.
My word. Yeah. But I was just saying, anytime, every Tuesday, see if you go in, I'm not... like, oh, I'm sitting with the same people. I'll sit down, I'm sitting with someone different. Mm. The following week I'll go and sit in a different chair as a chair, I'll sit next to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I like about it. It's not like, oh, I'm staying with the same pick. There's no cliques. You know,
yeah,
like
exactly,
it's like,
yeah,
it's not everybody a classroom. Everybody it's not mixes a classroom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you're getting to speak to someone different and get to know them. And, you know, and that's what I love about the whole thing.
I love the whole range of stuff that it could be, you know, it could be DIY. It could be the DI 1 week, and then the next week you could be talking about personal security or what have you. I think it's fantastic, the diversity of it. And everything's on the table too.
We did break up for the summer, but even some of the women from the day shed joined me up at the community garden. We've got two plots up there, and we're just doing a bit of maintenance and weeding. Mm-hmm. Just that social aspect, mm-hmm. meeting up for an hour during the week, just to have a familiar face, someone to talk to in the community. You know?
And health conversations as well.
And making friends, isn't it, Lisa?
And the cup of tea.
The cup of tea.
You're obsessed with tea.
Oh, yeah, tea is important.
Yeah, it really is. It's so important.
Yeah, I'd like a cup of tea. Right, okay, so just to recap, Martina, I suppose from the car house more specifically, and then Breed, I'll talk to you more specifically about the women's sheds, but for, Martina, from the car house and the facilities we've talked of and all that type of not the stuff that you do, right? Yeah. First port of call, just call in?
Just call in, or you can find everything on Facebook. I know there's a lot of older people that aren't on Facebook, or our number is 07491239 86. But please do call in. We do offer a lot of supports as well for older people. So we do meal deliveries as well for older people in the community on a daily basis. We have a befriending service where we match up volunteers on a one-to-one basis. And we do the senior alert scheme as well for, you know, the alarms, the pendants as well. So yeah, just come in the door. There's a welcoming face. There's always somebody there to talk to. And we'd love to see you.
And it sounds like there's going to be something there for everyone, is the impression I get. And Breeda, if people are interested in the women's shed and they've heard conversations about future DIY courses and all that type of stuff, how do you, if I wanted to go from a woman, if I wanted to go, how do you do, go about going?
Similarly, just come along to Cara House, so you can find us on Facebook, Instagram. Trying to get the TikTok route off too. I'm a great woman for the reels and social media, so we try and advertise and share as much as we can. And using the WhatsApp group, because we were just saying earlier on, you know,
see, it's a social media, it's a social network, and it's kind of viewed as messaging. But you know, that is itself a social media, isn't it?
It is. And meeting and talking to people, you know, I mention it to everyone that I see. Oh, what are you doing now, Breeder? I'm up at Cara House, and I'm running the women's shed and other groups as well. You know, it's not just the women's.
I might try and infiltrate the WhatsApp group and get all the.
All the inside gossip.
See what you're saying about us.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's just brilliant.
Our games night.
Oh yeah, alongside the women's shed on a Tuesday night, just so it's inclusive, we are operating a board games night. Michael Leddy himself is going to be doing that.
He's the man for that.
So you know, if you're interested in just coming along and you want to have a cup of tea, coffee, meet other people, game of cards, no gambling, no money involved, chess, Scrabble, whatever your cup of tea is, you know, come along. We'll be there.
I suppose as a service user who just thought, you know, this could be for me, and now it's obviously something that's a great outlet for you. You'd encourage those who are on the fence, who maybe walked up to the door and turned away, or to get involved, because it does actually genuinely sound like a lovely, welcoming community as much as anything else.
Yeah, drive there, get out the car, walk in, open the door, walk in, and there'll be a big smiley face there to meet you. But no, definitely, you won't regret it.
Well, it genuinely sounds fantastic. And I really appreciate, Lisa, you calling up to see us again. Lisa Gallagher, a member of the Women's Shed. Martina McGinty, who's manager of Cara House.
Thanks for having us.
Martina, thank you for helping us spread the word of the great services you provide. And last but not least, Breeda Campbell, community integration with Cara House and... behind the women's shed. Brilliant stuff. All right, thanks all three of you. Really appreciate it. And don't be any doubt. If you want to get involved, call into Cara House or roll up for one of these women's sheds nights. That sounds fantastic. And do you know what I like too is something that you can do that's not associated with a lot of what is associated in this country, i.e. maybe drinking or what have you. There's lots of people who don't have a good relationship with alcohol, you know, and it's hard to find stuff to do as much as anything else. So maybe those people are listening and it could be good for them as well. We have a real treat for you now, because we're joined in studio by Dermot McGee. He's part of the Seeger Sessions Revival. They're playing the Alley Theatre in Strabane next Thursday, the 26th of September at 8 p.m. It's a 13-piece band. If you haven't seen it, You really should go along, because just in terms of all of the people on stage making noise together and good noise, it's an experience in and of itself, because we're used to our two pieces or four pieces. But when you see 13 people gathered up on the stage, and these are the top class musicians, it really is a treat. Dermot, thanks so much for calling up. Really appreciate it.
Richard, how are you getting on?
I'm good.
Thanks for having me.
The Seeger Sessions revival, it's huge, right? Because every time I see your gigs come up, it seems the venues are bigger, they're further away. You know, it's remarkable, this story. Where did it all start?
Well, to be honest, it was just kind of Chris Beer, kind of a friend. He's the banjo player with the band The Logues. So he basically kind of rang around.
The Logues are mad. I remember seeing them in the... What was it called then? Was it the Reveller? No, it was something called Before the Reveller about 15 years ago. And I was like,
Voyage
these guys,
or something,
yeah,
it?
The Voyage. Yeah. And I was like, they're fantastic. Yeah, like, Valgrid, these yeah. guys are nuts. But anyway, yeah. in a very positive way. So yeah. That's where it started. Carry on.
Yeah, so basically, I think during COVID, it was something that he wanted to do for a long time. And the brass section, he was kind of friends with them. They would do gigs with the Logues. And between him and Donald, the trombone player, they kind of wanted to do this. And then when the world kind of shut down, we just decided, we just rang around people he knew and just... eventually put the thing together, and it wasn't easy. 13 people, it's not easy to pull it all together, but yeah, he actually did it.
When did it become obvious that there was something going on here more than 13 musicians coming together? And, you know, obviously you go into the early gigs, you're getting that good feedback, but then there was something significant happening there in terms of the crowd numbers, the capacities, that the amount of seats you could fill.
Yeah, but to be honest, the main thing I saw, we played a gig in the Button Factory in Dublin whenever Springsteen was actually up there a couple of years ago. And I think there was maybe 700 capacity in there, and they oversold it, and it was mayhem.
It was rocking.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. So it was just that, and you kind of went there and you're just like, no, there's definitely something here. Like, this is, and kind of Springsteen fans, and in the nicest possible way, they're mad. Like, we get people coming from, at those kind of gigs, we have people coming from like Germany, the US, Canada, all over this, but they kind of just kind of coming to see us. We actually did a gig over, this was kind of the highlight for me so far, was the London Symphony Orchestra. So Springsteen actually played there with this band in that same room. And whenever I was learning the songs, I was using that gig to kind of, to go over and learn the songs. And then I didn't think, this year.
I'm not the only person that can't keep track of the years.
Yeah. So it was this year we were actually over playing and kind of seeing pictures and kind of video of us and then kind of looking at him. So we're on the same stage playing the same songs as the man himself. So it was kind of that was really,
like,
really cool.
Full circle almost, right? Yeah. So talk to me about the source material here and its relationship with Bruce Springsteen.
So essentially it kind of, Pete Seeger was like a civil rights activist kind of back in the 60s. And he kind of wrote kind of these old songs, but then he kind of revamped them himself from like old kind of classic folk American songs. Mm. And then Springsteen kind of did the same thing with Pete Seeger's songs. And then he also kind of spiced up his own songs as well. Like there's Growing Up or The Ghost of Tom Joad. There's a bunch of songs, Springsteen songs, that he actually completely revamped. And, did them in the same style. And, they all, like, you've got like something like Erie Canal, which I think it's a really, really, really old song. And then you put that alongside Atlantic City, which is one of Springsteen's songs, and they fit. It's, to be honest, it's actually amazing how he was able to do it. But yeah, it was just, so that's essentially it. He kind of.
And do you stick to that playlist, Dermot?
The live in Dublin, which was, I think he played The Point with it. He did four or five nights in The Point, and that was kind of the main source material for this gig. But now we're kind of branching out. We want to do maybe some songs that he didn't do, kind of, maybe take some of his big hits and, have the same process, kind of turn them into, like, Seegerify them, if that's even a word.
You just created it.
Yeah, so...
You just created the band, so why not?
Yeah, So, it's kind of it's an ongoing thing. So kind of there's a couple of songs in the pipeline that we want to do, and it's just, I think I would say it's kind of logistics as well. It's kind of, there's 13 people. It's not easy to get everybody together.
No, I can imagine it isn't.
The very first gig we did was actually the first time everyone was in the same room together. So we kind of put it together in parts, and then just hopefully the first night actually in the Alley Theatre, which we are next Thursday, the 26th.
Yeah, and that's not the only venue you're playing, because he's unveiled a tour that really takes you right into February of next year. I don't know if you call it a tour or a series of gigs or whatever it is, but is there all over the place? So say, for instance, when, you know, you're gigging in Edinburgh and in Glasgow, how does the message get to Scotland? Like, how do you end up with those?
So actually, in the past couple, in the past while, we actually kind of signed with an agency over that are kind of looking after the UK and can, I think Europe as well. So there might be some fun stuff happening next year around that. But yeah, so essentially that, there's kind of a booking agent there that, you know, venues are looking for acts, and then they come to us, and then they go to Chris and kind of put it together that way. So yeah, that's going to be a fun one. There's three nights over in Scotland. So I think, I don't even know where we're starting. We're starting up more north, and then
it's kind of Edinburgh, Helensburgh, and then Glasgow.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know if that's north or south or south. It could be east to west, and then into Armagh, Letterkenny on the 23rd of November, Drogheda, Donegal Town, and the Abbey Hotel as well. But we're focusing on the gig, which is upcoming on Thursday. So remind us once again where it is.
So it's in the Alley Theatre in Strabane. Yeah. So I think doors open about 8 o'clock, and tickets at the box office and on the website.
Is there a particular venue you prefer? I'm not asking you to name one individual venue, but I think the theatre is kind of, if I could play and I could perform, I think, because the one thing, I hadn't really been in on Green On before, if the truth be told, right? But we did a show down there, and I was looking at the seats map, and I thought it was going to go back for a million miles. Do you know that sort of a way? And only when I went in there, I realised, wow, all of these people are sitting on your lap.
Yeah.
You know, which is fantastic, because, you know, if you're watching a play or if you watch a musician. So I would imagine if I could play, the theatre would be a really nice type of place to play, that sort of seating arrangement.
Oh, definitely it is, Ken. And Ken, with the type of people that come to these gigs, they sit and listen. It's not like a kind of a drink up or a kind of, you know, it's just, they actually sit and they really want to hear the song.
They want to hear
the
music.
As I say, the end of the night, everyone's up and kind of jumping around. Yeah. But yeah, no, the theatres are a nice place to play, and it's just kind of, you know, you've got sound. It's really nice. It's kind of, it's designed for it. You're not kind of putting a TV under the corner somewhere. So it's like, yeah, so no, I
could you switch Sky off now? We're about to start.
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right, come here. You're going to, this is, we're just literally tapping into your skills to hear a song. We're never going to recreate the Seeger Sessions revival because there's 13 and there's brass sections and everything up there, right? But just while we had you in, we thought I'd get a tune out of you. So what are you going to sing for us?
Well, I'm actually going to do, again, as you say, it's only me and the guitar. So I was actually going to do We Shall Overcome. It was kind of probably one of the most important songs of the whole kind of Seeger Sessions thing that he did. And it's kind of become like a, civil rights thing for him.
Do you know, and I know you love playing with the group, right? But you are an individual performer on your own. It's nice, I suppose, just to sit down with your guitar and do your take on one of these songs as well.
As I say, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
Well, we shall overcome. No, we shall overcome. No, we shall overcome someday. Now, darling, here in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. We'll walk hand in hand, and we'll walk hand in hand, and we'll walk hand in hand someday. Now, darling, here in my heart, I do believe we'll walk hand in hand someday. Well, we shall live in peace. We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace someday. Now, darling, here in my heart, I
do believe we shall live in peace someday. Now, darling, here in my heart, I do believe we shall live in peace someday.
Excellent stuff, Dermot. Now, if you want to hear Dermot and 12 of his colleagues, and it is one of those you kind of have to see it to get it sort of a thing. It really is quite a remarkable spectacle, and it's a great night out as well. They are playing next Thursday, the 26th of September at 8 p.m. in the Alley Theatre in Strabane. Now, it might clash with something that you can't get out of. So here's a couple of notes for your diary, and take a note of this because these dates are going to come around very, very quick. More locally, the 23rd of November in the Clanree Hotel and the 7th of December in the Donegal Town, in Donegal Town in the Abbey Hotel. Two excellent venues for this type of stuff as well. And if you're a real forward planner, they're in the Millennium Forum in Derry on the 19th of January. You can get your tickets online, by the way, the SegerSessionsRevival.com/tour, and you can get information on the tickets for all of those shows. So next Thursday in the Alley Theatre, Strabane, and as I say, then in Letterkenny on the 23rd of November, Donegal Town the 7th of December, and for all of that, you have to sing two songs. That is the cost.
You what?
So you have a second one for us, Steve?
I have, yes.
Brilliant.
Okay, yes,
not just while you're in, Dermot, because I don't get we don't get as much live music perhaps on the show as we'd like. Oh, so once I have you in and you're so talented, it'd be great to get another one from you. Oh my God.
Just
you've got another instrument.
Just ahead. I don't actually know how to play this. I got this whenever we were kind of practicing. I got asked, there was a song that needed a harmonica, and then they were saying, Dermot, you know how to play the harmonica? So I just lied straight to his face. 100%. I didn't even know one.
the skills are transferable.
So we'll see how it goes. This is one that's kind of a new one that we're thinking about doing. So, well, it's Saturday night. You're all dressed up in blue. I've been watching you a while. Maybe you've been watching me too. So somebody ran down, left somebody's heart in a mess. Well, if you're looking for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. Some girls they want and some damn, or some good looking Joe. On their arms, some girls like a sweet talking Romeo. We're around you, baby. I've learned you get what you can get. So if you're of enough for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. Well, the road is dark. It's a thin, thin line. Want you to know that I'd walk it for you anytime. Maybe your other boyfriend, they couldn't pass the test. So if you're rough enough for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. Well, it ain't no secret, I've been around a time or two. Well, I don't know, babe, around too. Well, there's another dance. All you've got to do is say yeah. So if you're of enough for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest. If you're rough and ready for
Honey, I'm tougher than the rest.
Great stuff. Brilliant. You'd be great at a birthday party blowing up the balloons. Listen, Dermot, thanks very much indeed. Really appreciate it. Continued success for you and the crew. That's Dermot McGee's part of the Seeker Sessions revival. They're playing at the Alley Theatre Strabane next Thursday at 8 p.m. It's a 13-piece band that you do not want to miss. If you can't make those gigs, Letterkenny the 23rd of November, Donegal Town the 7th of December. Dermot, thanks very much. Keep the session.
Thank you very much.
All right,
for having
we'll
me
be back with more after the break. Well, regular viewer Dolores Dunleavy on Facebook's rubbing it into us again. Good afternoon, Greg. Well, it's the morning here, dear. And team at Highland Radio from lovely Salou in Spain. Well, I hope you're enjoying yourself, Dolores. Well, we have long spells of sunshine. Is it raining? Well, why did she say it's lovely Salou? It was just a lovely atmosphere. Is it piddling it down? Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? Maybe they might not be able to have the afternoon sessions out around the pool. Wouldn't that be terrible? I'm only joking. But anyway, we're going to have long spells of sunshine here, turning hazy. I might fill a bucket of water and have a wee session around it myself later. We're going to have long spells of sunshine, turning hazy at times, temperatures 20 to 22. Wouldn't it be terrible if they're out playing golf and they all got rained on? That would be wild. Wouldn't it be awful? I wouldn't like that. No. Anyway, listen, Dolores, enjoy the weather. Hopefully it improves. If it is still raining, I don't know. Now, this caller, I've been here, got away with it, though. By accident, I put the wrong name on my flight booking. I'm now being charged €150. You must put your birth cert name on the passport and not your given name. And I think this might be a gentleman who is like, and it happens an awful lot, and I think particularly in West Tyrone, whereby their first name, then their second name, but they get called their second name more routinely. Now, I don't know if you'd get away with it. You wouldn't want to roll the dice, but my name is Gregory. It's on my passport, my driving license, my birth cert, of course, and all that kind of stuff. But I put Greg in for a flight. But it's part of the name. And I got away with it, right? So, but yours, I think in your situation, it might be, you know, James Gregory, but you've put Gregory Hughes on your passport. Now, don't put my name on your booking. That would be a nightmare. But anyway, so hopefully you get that sorted. €150 to change it does seem an awful lot of money, doesn't it? Where in Letterkenny is Cara House? Where's Cara House? It's specifically, it's on the Pierce Road, okay? Are we going there at some point? Perhaps, maybe? Okay, right. So we're going to be broadcasting in association with the Cara House from the Radisson. Okay, but they're, sorry about this. I'm just talking to Caroline off air. Their centre is in the Pierce Road. And I love you asking that because I really do hope you go along because I've spoken to Lisa in the past and she's really loved it and embraced it. Tell all walkers, runners, cyclists that's out with dark gear on everyone's site, get high vis on. And also, motorists, if you're out there, don't presume because you can't see high vis that there isn't a walker, a runner or a cyclist. We have to all share responsibility, don't we? Lovely reaction to our last guest, of course, Dermot McGee, who's a very good musician, but also fundamentally is a very nice person as well. He and the rest of the crew up on stage. Greg, so lifting to hear lovely music in the morning. That comes in from Maria. Hi, Greg. We were at the Seeker Sessions in On Green on Theatre last year. They were absolutely brilliant. Such talent. I recommend to go if they're in your area. Brilliant musicians and singers. And that comes in from Katie McGee, is it? Yeah, Katie McGee at the front desk. No, it doesn't. It comes in from a listener. No, Caroline, he's not. Well done, Dermot McGee, sounding good. Okay, thank you very much for that. Oh, competition. Don't forget the winner of the competition. I only mentioned it once today. I'll announce that a little later on. Sorry, I overlooked that, but we'll give it a really good shove tomorrow. I'll announce the winner now, actually, because if we have our next guest on, it might be to the end of the show. The answer was Mirror. Well done to you, John Duggan in Gwydor. John Duggan, very famous name in radio terms. Presume it's not the same, John Duggan, from back in the old days. John Duggan used to work for Glencoe Radio. John Duggan did Glencoe Radio, I think, if I've got the right name. But anyway, this is a different John Duggan. He's in Gwydor, but he has a €200 voucher, which is fantastic. Well done to you, John. Thanks for entering. Our last chance for a €200 voucher tomorrow. Greg, why is it on these fabulous sunny days that encourage people to take out and use their noisiest gadgets? They can find anyone, everyone, who are trying to sit out and enjoy this long-awaited good weather. These gadgets could be used on duller days. Please be respectful of your neighbours. What gadgets are you talking about? If I had to guess, I would say it's either going to be a drone. No, yes, I'd say it's either going to be a drone or it's going to be a speaker. But what gadgets are you talking about that your neighbours are taking out on a beautiful sunny day? But I suppose they're out enjoying their space as well. Rightio, let us speak now to Dr. Jimmy Quinn. He's of the Veterinary Working Group. You would know that ATU, and it's been broadly welcomed here, ATU has been announced as a location for a new veterinary school. Dr. Jimmy Quinn's of the Veterinary Working Group, but he backed UL in its bid. What's your reaction to this news emerging now, Jimmy? Good morning to you, by the way, sorry.
Hello, good morning. We're a bit worried by it, to be honest, Neil, because we feel the economics don't add up. If you look back 25 years ago, there was a capital expenditure of 40 million involved in the relocation of the UCD Vet School from Ballsbridge to Belfield. So 25 years ago, it cost 40 million to set up our existing vet school. And we're now being told that 50 million will cover two schools spread over four different sites. The figures don't add up.
And I don't wish to be smart, and I'm not trying to be, Dr. Quinn, but is part of the problem that UL figures don't add up, and they've had quite a little controversy as of late on that, and maybe have set themselves as not the best place to manage such a project?
Well, no, I think two things are being conflated here. One is the existing and pre-existing governance problems that were in UL with incorrect oversight of the spending of public monies. They got themselves involved in two controversial property deals, one on the purchase of a city centre Exton store site, a second one on student accommodation in Raybog. Those problems are being dealt with. The individuals involved are being dealt with, you know, both by a process of law and otherwise. But I don't think you can conflate that issue with the ability of the unique ability of
All right, okay. Now, James, I know there's a call coming in there, so bear with us and you'll come back. But I'd be very interested to hear from you when you do re-queue and connect. Okay, we know why you...
I'm
fine.
Here, Neil.
That's fine. What I was going to say to you, Jimmy, we know why you think UL is the best place to host it. But we went through a process, a fair enough process, I think most would agree. You want that process paused now because you don't like the outcome. Why is it a bad fit in as simple way as you can outline to me? Why is it bad that this school should be located here in the Northwest?
Well, if we go back to the process itself, Neil, our fundamental difficulty with the process was that there were no independent veterinary educational experts involved in the evaluation process, none. And you can check that. So, you know, I'm not sure how you reach a decision without following due process and involving the necessary educational experts that are needed.
Okay, well, listen, a gentleman local to this area who I imagine would very much disagree with you, and we don't have time for a debate, but time for a brief rebuttal, is Dr. Gerard Rorty, who is also a part of that working group and an active vet himself. I mean, I'm sure you have great respect for Dr. Jimmy Quinn, but not on this point. You disagree with him wholeheartedly, Gerard.
Well, the first thing is to say is if it wasn't for Jimmy and the incredible work Jimmy and Dr. Ian Fleming and the Veterinary Working Group had put in over the last 10 years, we wouldn't be getting a vet school. So Jimmy has done incredible work. I totally back the Limerick bid. The Limerick bid was an absolutely fantastic bid. But politics is politics. Minister Charlie McConnell Ogue found $25 million extra for the Department of Agriculture budget to fund these vet schools. Let's be clear, there will be no new vet schools going anywhere unless Minister McConnell found that $25 million. It is a political decision, and I welcome it. I'm very biased towards North West. There are massive challenges in how we will deliver it. But all I can say is, listen, I have so much confidence and belief that ATU can deliver a world-class vet school. It would be lovely. My preference would have been Limerick and ATU.
Sorry, Jared seems to have gotten there.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Are you not getting him, Jimmy? Well, listen, as I say, we don't have time for a back and forth, but effectively he's talking of paying tribute to the fact that we wouldn't even be having this conversation without the great efforts that you've made, Jimmy, and your colleagues. But he is of the firm belief that this is a good move for Donegal, albeit somewhat politically motivated, he's saying, Jimmy.
Absolutely, and you know, I'd have great respect for Jar and the work he has put in as a member of the group, and you know, I would understand why he would like to see the local horse win in a race like this, but you know, we still think the process should be paused, and given the amount of public monies that are involved in the spend, there needs to be public confidence that the process will deliver what it promises, and you know, there is no 40 student vet college in existence in Western Europe.
Yeah, but can we not lobby now for that to be increased to 90, for an example?
You can, but it's taken us a long time to get as far as 50. And if I can give you the example of UCD, you know, they run on a 50 student North American cohort that contribute $2 million a year to their budget. And without those 50 North American students, UCD could not open their doors. So, you know, the whole issue of funding for veterinary education in Ireland actually needs to be re-examined. Okay. It's the most expensive course. It runs at about 30,000 per head per year. And, you know, very often there isn't a willingness in government to put the hand in the pocket and spend what needs to be spent.
Okay, Dr. Jimmy Quinn, thank you for your time. I do appreciate it. A minute to you if you wish to respond there. Well, I've had to let Dr. Quinn go.
Yeah, you, very, very briefly again, I talked to the Minister for Agriculture yesterday and he said we're going to deliver a world-class vet school. He's already found the money to kick the ball in. He'll find the money to deliver a situation where we also have 50 Americans come to Letterkenny to study along with the 40 students.
All
so
right, thank you.
I have no doubt it'll be a success.
Thank you so very much indeed. I appreciate it. We shall wait and see. Both men very much respect each other, just have different points of view, which is perfectly fine. Back with you tomorrow morning. It's Friday's show, which means we'll kick off with the Friday panel. Don't miss that. Stay tuned a little later, about a minute late. John Bresson will be with you around the Northwest after we take a break for the news.